2 years ago, Geraldine did a fascinating interview with the foreign correspondent David Reef about whether collective historical memory can actually destroy the path to peace, whether it's maybe best for a country to forget its violent history. Well, it might be interesting to put that question to our next guest, Nicholas Woolpe. Nicholas is the founder and CEO of Lily's Leaf Farm in Ravona in Johannesburg in South Africa. During the anti-apartheid movement, this was the place where the leaders of the movement met to plan the fight against apartheid. And later the police stormed in, arrested them all. Nelson Mandela ended up getting a life sentence. And Nicholas's father actually has an interesting connection, a very intimate connection to that place, and I'll ask him about it. Nicholas Woolpe is in Australia courtesy of Plus 61J, which is an Australian Jewish group, and he's delivering lectures about his time and that time in South Africa. And he's also here for the screening of the film Act of Defiance. The film is part of the International Jewish Film Festival, and it's being shown here in Australia nationally. Nicholas Woolpe, a very big welcome to you.
Thank you, Andrew, and it's wonderful to be here in Sydney, Australia.
Just before we get to your dad, because he was such a significant figure, what do you make of David Reef's sentiment?
Well, in a nutshell, I disagree. Mm. I mean, we just need to, for example, look at some of the quotes by Winston Churchill. The further back you look, the further forward you can see. History provides the platform, the basis for a country. One of the problems which we're suffering in South Africa today is the fact that we have, to some degree, lost our sense of focus, our sense of identity, our sense of who we are, partly because we have begun to forget about the past. We have forgotten what the essence and the meaning of our struggle was about, what we were trying to achieve. And because of that, it has created this kind of vacuum to allow individuals to come in to create narratives which are contrary and have no bearing.
I mean, how is this forgetting taking place in South Africa? Because it's only, what, 25 years since full emancipation for all South Africans.
I mean, it is actually extremely frightening. I mean, the look on your face, like, only after 25 years. But the reality is we are forgetting. The reality is that the essence of what we strove to try and achieve and accomplish through our struggle no longer bears relevance to the South Africa of today at this moment in time. And I, if I may, I'd like to give a couple of examples. You've talked about Lily's Leaf. Lily's Leaf led to the Rivonia trial because Lily's Leaf was in the peri-urban area of Rivonia. Yeah. And some years ago, I was asked to tell a couple of what we refer to as born frees, those who were born in the mid-80s, who were born at the time to be able to experience the freedoms after 1990. And I said to them, have you heard of Rivonia? And after a few seconds, the one girl said, yes, the road. That tells you that symbolic places, places of importance, like Lily's Leaf and also the Rivonia trial, do not resonate with some of the born frees.
Yeah, let's talk about that now, about Lily's Leaf Farm and Rivonia. What is your dad's connection?
He was a member of the Communist Party. He was a lawyer. And he did the legal purchase of the farm back in 1961 for the Communist Party through a front company. He also met there as head of military intelligence. And following the raid on Lily's Leaf, he was warned by Bram Fischer's wife, who the film Act of Defiance is based on, that he should...
And Bram Fischer, I think, was a lawyer and a judge ultimately, wasn't he?
No. He was the lead advocate for the Rivonia trialists. Mm. Bram was the chairman of the Communist Party who instructed Michael Harmel and Ahmed Kathrada to go and find a safe house. And Michael Harmel discovered Lily's Leaf, which became initially the safe meeting place for the Communist Party leadership. And so when they raided the farm, they uncovered a document also in my father's handwriting, which was on the code of conduct into guerrilla warfare.
And what ultimately happened to your father, Harold?
He was arrested trying to cross over the border into what was then Bechuana land, brought back to Pretoria and then taken from Pretoria to Marshall Square, where he and three other comrades bribed a policeman and it became known as the Great Escape.
One of the things that I found interesting about the group of men who were arrested that day, it was actually so diverse. Aside from the black South African leadership that was arrested, there were Jewish South Africans, there was an Englishman, there was an Indian Muslim. What drove this very diverse group of people to start planning that movement, this rainbow nation of people to start planning that movement?
First and foremost, one must look at it within a historical context. The ANC, from its inception, held to the view that South Africa belonged to all who lived in it.
Black and white. Those were the opening words of the Freedom Charter.
Correct.
Very beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Freedom Charter was the articulation of that, that they believed that no one in South Africa was free until, to start with, the segregation policies of the British government were done away with, equal rights were given to blacks, that all South Africans were able to enjoy the creature comforts that were offered by the richness of the endowment of that country. So it's always been this essence of a multiracial society. Interestingly, that ties up with the movie of Act of Defiance, Bram Fischer being defiant. Bram Fischer was a person who abided by the law, who felt that the law was king, but recognized at some point one had to break the law because the law was not creating the conditions for a equal, just society.
I want to talk about the situation today in just a moment. But your father's heroic central role in this early struggle was all a surprise to you until some point in your life, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, we were aware of his role. I mean, but what has become apparent during this period while I've been doing the what I refer to as the legacy project for Lily's Thief, I uncovered some interesting facts which my mother was not even aware of, and that he was a military commander that would, and he would go to Angola. We had absolutely no idea. When he went to Africa, we assumed he was going to the school in Tanzania. And then a number of people made reference to the fact that they were with him in the camps, which I then disputed. But what really then brought it home was one day I went to Lily's Leaf to lock up after we had interviewed a number of former NK combatants, and I thought I'd go over and greet them. And as I walked towards them, five of them stood to attention and saluted me. And I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We salute the son of our commanding officer." Hmm. Which was very emotional.
Yeah, I can absolutely envisage that. Mm. Nicholas, the African National Congress today, given what it started as, a rainbow coalition of people fighting for one simple proposition, the vote for all, justice for all, I wonder what you think of some of the difficulties that it's now facing.
To sum it up, heart sore, because I am a product, a child of the ANC. I grew up in the ANC. I got the feeling of what it stood for, what it represented, the moral perpetuity through which it conveyed its argument for a just, free South Africa. You made reference to the Freedom Charter. It was a document that the ANC was a signatory to. It was a document that Govan and Mbeki described as the moral compass of the struggle. Unfortunately, the ANC, I would say, of the Zuma era, completely shattered those noble ideas, those noble principles which inspired a world to rally around them, inspired international solidarity. Before we started the interview, you made the reference to the fact that the anti-apartheid movement was, to some degree, your first exposure to politics.
Yeah, as a 16-year-old in the mid-80s. Yeah, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, my great hero, and Archbishop Tutu today says he won't vote for the ANC. He weeps it.
I mean, it's because that moral sense that defined the ANC became lost. It was overtaken by individuals who had no grounding in the principles, the essence of what the ANC stood for, and used the ANC as a platform for furthering their own self-interest, their own self-aims of acquiring wealth.
Can a film like Act of Defiance, which, as I said, is going to be shown in Australia at the Jewish Film Festival, have the kind of powerful effect in correcting the memory and maybe correcting the course that parts of the African National Congress have put themselves on?
I don't think it can act as a mechanism to correct the perception, because it's dealing with something of a historical nature. But what it can do, and I think, is highlight the nature of the struggle, that the struggle was not simply black and white, to pardon the pun, that it was much more complex. It involved a diverse range of individuals from backgrounds that came together because they had a common belief, a common sense of moral responsibility, of principles that said, one cannot govern a country or create laws purely predicated on the basis of one's skin, that you cannot rule a country and marginalize the majority because they happen to be of a different color. That's what the film can do. And it can also create an understanding of what the aim of the struggle was about. And maybe coming forward, people can say, okay, we can see where the ANC or the ANC of Jacob Zuma deviated from that strong principle that underpinned the ANC during those years of struggle.
Yeah. Let me ask you about what was a very tough situation, I think, for the South African Jewish community, because, as you know, it was quite divided in relation to the struggle in South Africa. You had so many heroes like your dad and like Ruth First and Joe Slovo, who were leaders, quite sacrificial leaders of the anti-apartheid movement, but other parts of the South African Jewish community were almost indifferent to what was going on, and there was a very strong military relationship between Israel and the South African regime at the time. When we speak of memory, how difficult has that been to come to grips with?
I would say traumatic. It still hasn't been, I believe, adequately addressed. I think it hasn't been adequately discussed. There is still a kind of trepidation of openly engaging in a constructive conversation around the role of some segments of the Jewish community, their complicity and support for the apartheid state. I mean, the prosecutor at the Rivonia trial was Percy Utah, who was Jewish. Mm. I think there is still a lot that needs to be done. There is still an element of healing that needs to take place. There is a need to come together, not on a political level, because that's not going to solve the interpersonal dynamics that exist. And that's been one of the problems that we, across the board in South Africa, are facing, that we have the structures, and those structures have held solid during the period of the Zuma era, where democracy, the freedom of the press, the freedom of the judiciary held firm. So we have the instruments for a solid democracy. Where we are failing is on those interpersonal relationships.
I just want to end on a very happy note. Yeah. You're a humble person. You don't stand on ceremony. But I believe I could address you as Sir Nicholas, because you have a knighthood from the King of Sweden. Sweden's a long way from South Africa, but many of us who know that history know the relationship. How did you become Sir Nicholas Wolpe?
One of the things which we've done at Lily's Leaf is international solidarity, because, again, people are forgetting the role of the international community, and they're forgetting the important role the international community played in support against the apartheid state. So the first permanent exhibit that we put on at Lily's Leaf was on Sweden and its role, and depicting its important role, and they were extremely appreciative. I mean, to be honest, I was completely shocked. Throughout last year, I had been saying to the Swedish ambassador, when are you going to invite me to come and speak in Sweden? And eventually she said, could I send her my CV? And I got all excited, things like, wow, I'm going to go and speak in Sweden. And then I heard nothing.
A bit more than that. It has been so good to talk to you. Nicholas Wolpe, he's the CEO of Lily's Leaf Farm, which is a wonderful memorial site in South Africa, which commemorates the anti-apartheid struggle. Nick is in Australia to help promote the film Act of Defiance about the anti-apartheid movement, and you can see that as part of the Jewish International Film Festival. And Nick's also doing some lectures around the country. Thank you so much for being with us on Saturday Extra, Nicholas.
Thank you, Andrew. It's been an absolute pleasure.